8:37 is the time. My name is Bob. My next guest is Dr. Claudia Six. Woo! You got to think about saying six instead of sex when you talk to you, Claudia. The reason I said that, I'm not being rude or disrespectful or anything. Of course, Dr. Claudia Six is a clinical sexologist. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So what is a sexologist?
A sexologist is somebody who has an advanced degree, and I tell people it's basically everything you want to know about sex and then some.
So you are like the champ when it comes to, hey, what do we need to do? Like the 50 shades of gray, you've got 150 shades of gray?
Yeah, I have more the emotion. I have more the emotional nuances. I help people with the emotional aspects of their sexual relationships, not so much the mechanics.
Okay, I do talk once a month with Melissa Helwig. She's a certified sex therapist, and one of the things that she told me that I was really shocked to hear the first time that we had conversation was that the biggest part of a relationship, of a good sexual relationship, is between the ears.
She's absolutely right.
Listening.
Yeah. Your greatest sex organ is your brain.
Well, and so is that hard for people to realize that that's kind of the key to a good sexual relationship?
I think so. People tend to focus on the mechanics, and they tend to focus on like what's going on with their equipment, and they want to fix things, and they think it's about the doing. And it's more about the being. It's about how you show up. It's about being grounded and being calm and being present and connecting with your partner. It's not about just focusing on the body parts and what they're doing.
Is it hard to get people to start thinking that way, though, Claudia?
No, I think I get the message across pretty quickly, because by the time they come see me, you know, they've tried what they know how to do that doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
So when I present a different lens, they tend to listen.
Dr. Claudia Six joining us this morning, wrote the up-and-coming book, Erotic Integrity, How to Be True to Yourself Sexually. So how do you find out, doctor, how to be true to yourself?
The first thing I do when I have clients, and this is why I wrote this book, is because I realize that this is what I've been doing for like 20 years. The first thing I do is I try to help them figure out who they are sexually, because often we don't ask ourselves questions. We buy into the predominant cultural model of being monogamous and heterosexual, and sometimes there's more to people than that. So the first thing I do is I ask them a lot of questions to figure out how they're put together. What is it that they're really into? What really turns them on? And then the second step is I get them to embrace that, to sort of own who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third step, you know, in a nutshell, is to live it authentically. I mean, I could say more, but this is a
radio show.
Yeah.
In La Crosse, Wisconsin. So when you're dealing with that and you're talking to somebody, and I'm guessing that the majority of people probably don't match up to their partner when it comes to sex, because I'm sure that somebody wants to have it more often than the other person, and the other person wants to do this at this time of the day, and that person wants to do something here, and that, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
How do you go about, with a monogamous married couple, how do you make things work so that way it works for both? Is that even possible?
Sure. Where there's a will, there's a way. You have to create a win-win. And there's a lot of reasons why people, you know, find reasons not to have sex. You know, they've got kids, they're tired, they got to work. One, like you said, one's a morning person, one's an evening person. One wants it, one doesn't. You have to find the happy medium that works for both of them. And it's not about one person, you know, having sex when they don't want to. You got to find reasons to want to.
Mm-hmm.
People can have sex for non-sexual reasons. You can want to have sex with your partner just because you love them, even if you're not, you know, turned on in the moment. Or you can want to have sex with them because you think it might be a good idea. It might make you feel close to them. You got to find the reasons why you want to have sex with each other. And then the rest is just logistics. You lock the bedroom door. You find a time. You set the alarm clock early. You go to bed early. You get a hotel room and you get a sitter.
Uh-huh.
Whatever it is you have to do.
You know, on television, you watch TV nowadays, and the majority of TV shows have somebody using sex as a way to manipulate somebody into doing something that they want them to do. How often does that happen in life?
Well, I don't think it happens all that often, at least not the people I see, because that is not an empowered stance. That's being manipulative. That's not being an erotic integrity. Mm-hmm. When you're in erotic integrity, you're being authentic rather than trying to lure somebody and get them to do something you want with sex. And actually, it's usually, I'm not down on women at all, but it's usually women who tend to do this more because guys want sex more, typically. I would, if I had somebody in my office like that, I would call them out on it and say, you know, what are you doing? And why is it that you choose to manipulate your partner like this? And mm-hmm. what's in it for you? And I would tell the guy, like, why do you settle for this? Why do you settle for crumbs? Why do you put up with this kind of behavior?
So how do you go about working through those kind of issues if that's the issues that people are having?
That the woman is using sex as a tool to get the guy to do what she wants?
Yeah, or vice versa. I'm sure that happens a lot in the dating world and possibly in other circumstances as well. But yeah, how do you go about working through something like that?
I would ask the person, you know, again, I don't see this very much, but I would ask the person, what's in it for you and how do you make sense that this is how you go about getting what you want?
Right.
How were you trained for this? What was your family of origin like? Was this how your mother was with your dad? Do you really think this is the best way to be? Does this really get you what you want? And do you enjoy the sex when you do have it? Or are you just putting out of obligation? And don't you want more for yourself? I'd start with that kind of question.
Oh, there you go. Is it difficult to get couples to come in together? I mean, because I'm guessing that a lot of times when people end up with that with the problem of sex, that they're one of them thinks it's a problem, the other one's like, I really don't care.
Not really, because I tell people, say one person calls me mm-hmm. and they says, well, you know, my partner really doesn't want to come in. They figure I'm the one who's broken. I'm the one who's holding up the show. So I need to go get myself fixed. I say, you know, in my experience, it's never one person who's holding up the show. And when there's a sexual problem in a relationship, it's always about the dynamic between the two people. Mm-hmm. And it's not about throwing anybody under the bus or making anybody wrong. So I tell them, you know, if you ask your partner to come in to help me help you, and then I can get the partner to come into the session, because it's not about them feeling, like they're going to get fixed. It's about them helping me fix their partner. And then once they're there, I get them to see gently that it's always about the two people. It's about how they're communicating, what they're saying and not saying to each other. It's never one person.
Dr. Claudia Six joining me this morning here on Today's Talk 1490. Wrote the book Exotic Integrity. It's coming out. When does your book come out?
Comes out May 9th, and it is available for pre-order on my website, drsix.net.
All right. How long does it take? How long does it take for the typical couple to work through to reach that point of exotic integrity?
Erotic integrity, but I like exotic integrity.
Oh,
that's
I'm sorry.
Too.
Well, you know where my mind is.
I know. This is information about you, Bob. Every couple, every person who calls says, "Well, how many sessions is this going to take?" And I tell them it's a reasonable question, but it's not one that I can possibly answer without having met you. Mm-hmm. So when people are in crisis, if I had to throw out a number, I'd say 6 or 8 sessions, we can get them out of crisis.
Right.
But a lot of couples choose to stay for what I call maintenance. They might not come every week. They don't need to. They might come like once a month or once every 6 weeks for maintenance, to talk about all the stuff they don't talk about the rest of the time. Because, you know, they've got kids, you know, like you, you've got a number of kids. They go to work, you know, there's life happening, and they don't necessarily get to sit down and have a State of the Union conversation about their relationship. So they come into my office, and they talk about everything they didn't talk about and kind of iron out a few things, or if there was a fight, we kind of sort that out, and then they go on their merry way. So there's crisis mode, and then there's, like, maintenance mode. And then sometimes people are neither in crisis. They just kind of like, you know what, the kids are left, you know, the kids have gone to college. We've been married 25 years. We just figured it was time we sort of like, you know, made things a little bit better for ourselves. So there's everything.
Are those typically the people you see? Are people that are long-term marriage people or people that are, you know, not newlyweds? I'm guessing they probably wouldn't have issues.
I see a little bit of everything. about half my practice is couples with young kids. Okay. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. Because, as you know, when you have kids, you know, that's the priority. And it's hard. The first couple years with a child is hard on a relationship. And that's when people often come and see me. And then also,
can I just throw something in here? So having kids doesn't automatically help on a relationship?
No.
I said that as a joke because I think a lot of people think that, well, we'll just have kids and everything will be hunky-dory.
Yeah, that's a myth, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely it is. So let me ask, is there such a thing as normal? Is there ever a normal relationship?
You know, that's a perfect question, Bob, because in 25 years I've been doing this, every single person wants to know that. Everybody wants to know what is normal and are they normal. And what I tell them is, who cares about normal? Because normal is the norm. It's what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. Of course, the alternative, nobody wants to be abnormal. What are you, like, sick or twisted if you're not normal? But what I care about is whether what people are doing works for them. I don't care what you're doing. I just care about whether it works for you. Does it make you happy? Does it turn you on and your partner? Who cares whether it's normal?
Oh, that's a good way to look at things. And then also with the internet, because, I mean, many of us are online. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We see these different articles that pop up that says that normally people are, you know, having sex 3 times a week or 2 times a week or once. I mean, it depends on what article you're looking at, and you're seeing that, you know, normal is this, normal is that, normal is, you know, nothing. How do you go about dealing with that when you've got that in the back of your head as a judge? You know, you feel like you're judging or being judged because you're having it too much or not having it enough.
Yeah, and sometimes people are talking to their friends, and their friends are saying, well, we have it this many times, and we have it that many times, and sometimes their friends aren't telling the truth anyway, because everybody wants to be normal, and everybody thinks they're supposed to be a certain way.
Right.
So part of erotic integrity is just being true to yourself. You're doing what is right for you. So whether you have it once a day or once a year, what's right for you?
Right.
Have your frame of reference be internal, rather than have it be, you know, popular media.
Well, here's some good advice. When your friends start lying to you and telling you that it's like this time, this many times in a week, you can always use my initials. Just throw it out there and just say BS.
That's right.
That works. Erotic Integrity. You can find the book ahead of time. It comes out in May, but you can find it on drsix.net. We missing anything here, Claudia?
Dr. Six is drsix.net.
drsix.net to find out more information. Dr. Claudia Six, thanks a lot for joining us this morning here on today's Talk 1490. It's 8:51. We'll be back to wrap up the hour here in just a minute.